A bit more history is in order to grasp the 20th century emergence of the fundamentalists. We have seen how the century began with the Baptists pulling ahead of the Methodists as the largest Protestant denomination. By one account, the impetus that became fundamentalism began in the last quarter of the 19th century as an interdenominational revivalist network that formed around the era's greatest evangelist, Dwight L. Moody. This movement drew most of its constituents from the generally Calvinist wing of American Protestantism. At this point, it was more northern than southern. Between 1910 and 1915, Moody's conservative successors, alarmed at the growth of liberal theology and secular spirit, published a series of booklets called The Fundamentals. These most basic of the basics, all beyond compromise, included an intense focus on evangelicalism, the need for an infilling of the Holy Spirit after conversion, belief in the imminent second coming of Christ, and the absolute, inerrant authority of the Bible. In 1919, the hardliners promoted the formation of the World's Christian Fundamentals Association, and in 1920, the new anti-modernist faction was given the name Fundamentalist by Curtis Lee Laws, editor of the Baptist paper The Watchman Examiner. To some religious historians, the rise of fundamentalism from the 1920s through the 1960s is now seen as the period's most dynamic and influential U.S. evangelical impulse. Joel Carpenter, in his profile of fundamentalism during those years, cites the interpretations of two principal authorities, Ernest Sandeen and George Marsden, that fundamentalism had serious roots in 19th century religious ideas and so could not be dismissed as simply a revolt against modernism. Of course, roots in 19th century sectarianism, itself born amid the dislocating modernism of steamboats, railroads, and the telegraph, are not necessarily very different. Pentecostalism, the faith many religious historians identify as Protestantism's late 20th century populist innovation, emerged out of the late 19th century holiness movement, updated in the sectarian pressure cooker of early 1900s California. It caught hold in the 1910s and 1920s, abetted by preachers in the black community and then by the flamboyant Amy Semple McPherson, radio personality and founder of the International Church of the Four Square Gospel, another fringe sect that has since climbed much higher in membership. McPherson, who sometimes rode a motorcycle down the aisle of her Los Angeles temple, thrived on publicity and even claimed to have been kidnapped in 1926 when she was actually hiding out with a new lover. Like baptism in its early form, Pentecostalism did not thrive by being respectable. The movement's distinguishing characteristic, the practice of speaking in tongues, took its name from the New Testament. During the biblical celebration of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended in power upon the apostolic worshipers, one manifestation of that power was that those present began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Only people with the gift can understand words and sentences of godly derivation that otherwise seem babbling and unintelligible. As with early Southern evangelicalism, Pentecostalism, in order to take hold, was obliged to ease its initial egalitarianism and interracialism and become more acceptable to middle class and commercial society. Like the Baptists in the South, however, it prospered from some perceived moderation. Economic conservatives often warm to sects in which a preoccupation with personal salvation turns lower-income persons away from distracting visions of economic and social reform. To return to the mainstream, observers have long identified the tumultuous 1960s as the decade when the mainline Protestant denominations declined, partly by taking cultural and political positions on war, society, and civil disobedience that were too liberal for their congregations. Religiously, though, the decade of Vietnam and Woodstock seems to have been less of a watershed than assumed. By the calculations of Stark and Fink, between 1940 and 1985, mainline Protestantism's share of all U.S. religious adherents was steadily plummeting. The largest group, the United Methodists, dropped from 124.7 adherents per 1,000 total church members in 1940 to 93 in 1960 and to just 64.3 in 1985. For the Presbyterians, USA, the simultaneous decline was from 41.7 to 36.4 to 21.3, while the Episcopalian fall was from 30.9 to 28.6 to 19.2. Meanwhile, the United Church of Christ Congregationalists slid from 26.5 to 19.6 to 11.8. In mid-20th century cultural and political terms, these denominations, seats of relative theological centrism, had been home to a disproportionate share of the nation's college graduates, business elites, and elected national office holders. Changes in theological dominance thus were harbingers of political and societal changes. The ascendant Southern Baptists during the same period climbed from 76.7 adherents per 1,000 total church members in 1940 to 85 in 1960 and to 101.3 in 1985. The Pentecostal Assemblies of God vaulted from 3.1 in 1940 to 4.4 in 1960 and to 14.6 in 1985. These, in the 1940s and 1950s, were national outsider denominations, found more often in unfashionable locales than in wealthy ones. Wheaton's Knoll dates the gathering mainline slump from the 30s, but acknowledges that the public turmoil of the 1960s accelerated that decline. For the nearly four-decade period between 1960 and 1997, and taking denominational mergers into account, the Presbyterian Church, the Episcopal Church, the United Church of Christ, including the Congregationalists, and the Methodists lost between 500,000 and 2 million members each, the last being the Methodist slippage. In the meantime, the Southern Baptist Convention added 6 million, the Mormons 3.3 million, the Pentecostal Assemblies of God 2 million, and the Church of God, Tennessee, some 600,000. The direction in these tabulations is clear. The sectarian gains race across the decades like an express train, another hint of the changes to come. Overall, experts Stark and Fink, Knoll and Carpenter concur that in recent decades, American Protestantism, though itself slowly ebbing in relative adherence, has increasingly leaned toward the Pentecostal and charismatic movements and churches.